Monday. The time is 5:30. You're listening to Say Hey, Chico's only produced, locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, and it is opening day. Probably my favorite sporting day of the year. Even more so than March Madness, the opening day. That's great and all, but this is more special for me. So it is opening day. Forget that there were three games yesterday on ESPN because there was also an exhibition game. So Sunday, not opening day. Monday, baseball season, that's opening day. Noobs is on his way. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got the National League preview starting up. We did the AL last week. We're going to do the National League today. Games are happening all over the place. The late game is going to be the Cubs and the Angels. That'll be on ESPN right now. The Dodgers and the Padres are playing on ESPN. We've already seen the Giants take on the Brewers today. And that one wound up being a laugher. Giants wind up winning 12-3. And they show their power as a healthy offense. They go back-to-back-to-back for the first time in a decade. Three home runs in a row, back-to-back-to-back. For the first time since it went Ray Durham, Barry Bonds, and Pedro Feliz in 2006. That was 10 years ago. That was a team I really didn't like either. I did not like the 2006 Giants very much. That was the tail end of the Bonds era. Those were not good teams. Let's maybe have a listen to how back-to-back-to-back sounds. It started off with Denard Span today.
One for three. He's
got, so let's have Dwayne Kuiper give us the call.
Payoff pitch, runners go, swinging a high drive to right. It is out of here! And a three-run home run for Denard Span.
What a great at-bat that was. 0-2 to a 3-2, and then Lever for a three-run bomb.
Now the pitch, there's a shot to right field. High and deep, and second deck. Goodbye! Joe Paddock's first hit of the year is a tape measure home run. He hit it even deeper than did Denard Span.
Posey hits a high drive center field. It is out of here. Three in a row for the Giants.
And that's how it sounded 12-3. At Miller Park. Giants going to win 12-3, and we are joined now by Noobs. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Happy opening day.
Happy opening day, my friend. It's a good day. You got your Sox jersey going?
Yeah. My Ted Williams.
Yep.
Frozen head jersey.
Ted Williams, frozen head. I love that style of Sox. That just looks, everything about it looks good right there.
Thank you.
I think I like the road unis best.
Me too.
Yeah, of the Red Sox uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything's exciting. I primed the pump a bit as you were coming up the stairs. We're going to do our National League preview.
Cool.
We just rolled out the back-to-back-to-back for the Giants. So let's start with the NL West. Why not?
Let's do it.
So I'll start right at the top, and I'll say that I think it's a two-horse race officially between the Giants and the Dodgers. And I say that because with all due respect to the Diamondbacks, mm-hmm. who are much improved and are young on offense, They got a 1-2 punch with Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller. And then Patrick Corbin could come back real strong this year, finally mm-hmm. healthy. But they lose a big piece the other day. A.J. Pollock breaks his elbow sliding into home plate.
Yeah.
He's had problems with that same elbow before, yep. and he broke it. He's out for the entire year. He's their center fielder. He had a career season last year. He's a young guy. That's a big thing. And I'm not talking, it's like, it's not the equivalent of the Pirates losing Andrew McCutchen.
No.
But, I mean, in a division that's real tough, when if he costs them five games by not being around, that's right. enough to not make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a big loss for them.
It is a huge loss. And you hate to see that happen, mm-hmm. you know, the weekend before opening day.
Yep.
You know, sliding headfirst into home plate. He actually said it was like he injured it when he was trying to push up off the arm, which I thought was ironic. I just read a little article about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're going to have a guy named Socrates Brito.
Yeah.
And he was the Dominican League Rookie of the Year, and he hit 300 in Double-A last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just never know how these shoes are going to get filled. They might have Owens. spend some time in center field.
Uh-huh.
You know, and because he wasn't necessarily guaranteed to start at second this year anyway. They do have a strong team. We'll see what Ruby De La Rosa can do at the fourth spot in the rotation. If Goldschmidt can have another one of those MVP type caliber years.
And I think he will. I think Goldschmidt is, he's a lock year in and year out.
I'm just not going to count him out because,
no.
Yeah, the Dodgers look good on paper, but they've won three straight NLs, and you just wonder, like, when they're going to have a drop off.
Right.
New manager.
Yeah, exactly. I think even with Pollock being out, even if they don't fill the gap in center field at all, they're still a good team.
They are.
They are a very good team. That being said, I want to touch on two things with the Giants and Dodgers. First, with the Giants. Now, in the offseason, their pitching made the headlines with signing Samardzija and Cueto, both of which have a lot of ceiling. They have a high ceiling with those guys. But really, to me, the best part about this Giants team is that they have a healthy offense. They now have Denard Span. This is a really good offense. They quietly had one of the best offenses in baseball last year, despite the fact that Pence missed three quarters, Panic missed the second half, Pagan was injured all year, Belt had concussion issues. They still had a good offense. Now they're healthy. This is the best offensive team they've had since the Bonds era.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying every game is going to be like today where they hit, you know, four or five home runs and score a dozen runs.
No.
But this is a very good offensive team that doesn't strike out very much as well. They don't have a true hole in the lineup as a healthy bunch. Now, guys are going to get injured. That's just the way it goes.
Right.
But the strength of this team, I honestly believe, is the offense. And whatever else they can get out of the pitching is just what potentially puts them over the top.
Right.
I'm not 100% sold that you can't have a spring as bad as they had in the starting rotation with a collective ERA of like 8 and not have some of that carry over. Bum was sick and not sharp today, but he did get the win. You know, who knows how long it's going to take guys like PV or Kane or Samardzija or Cueto to kind of shake out the cobwebs of spring and what are you going to get? But I think the best part of this team is their offense, and if they can get some all-star performances out of their pitchers, that's what's going to make them as good as they can be.
I would agree with that. I think touching on the pitching, though, anytime you have either Kane or Peavy as your 4 or 5,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's not that bad. Granted,
no,
Matt
no,
Kane,
no, it's great.
Kane isn't what he was a couple years ago, but guys have bounce back years. You know,
they do.
Maybe he's like fully recovered now, fully healthy. I think Samardzija and Cueto, like you said, have a very high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
They're both back in the National League now. You know, and so they're going to familiarize themselves with who they're going to face. And, you know, it is an even year, Jake.
It is an even year. And I'm going to enjoy that all year long because if they don't win the World Series this year, the even year thing goes out the window.
Right.
So I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the Giants to me, I think the offense healthy is a lock and the pitching is a high ceiling. We'll just see if it comes to fruition.
For sure.
Now that, and then we roll into the Dodgers. They didn't have a real glamorous offseason.
No.
Greinke leaving, yada, yada. They don't have a real good rotation per se. They still have a great pitcher in Clayton Kershaw.
No doubt.
They have somebody with a potentially high ceiling in Kenta Maeda. But they have some question marks in the rotation. I still think, though, that when you see a guy like Corey Seager, who I think is a bona fide future star, like he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. I really believe that.
I got him on my fantasy team.
I bet. He's going to make a big difference. I think a guy like Kike Hernandez, who nobody really talks about for some reason,
right?
Who also goes, he could be a guy that breaks out.
Totally.
Howie Kendrick is starting the season on the DL.
Yep.
That's a good spot for Kike to get right in and show what he's made of. I think he's a really good player.
They're going to start Utley, though, at second, aren't they?
Utley's going to get some reps, but Utley's finished.
No, I agree. That's why I think that's a bad spot for them if they can't fill the second base.
But Kike is in there. He's playing tonight.
Okay.
They're going to I just feel like the Dodgers, even though they didn't have a great offseason and their rotation is kind of a question mark, I think they still have a lot of talent, good young talent, and they've got guys coming up.
They do. I was actually surprised. I didn't realize that they had some guys in the minor leagues that have come up that were that good. We'll see what happens with Jock Peterson this year.
I think he was absolutely on fire. He could be a thumbs down kind of guy.
You know, Adrian Gonzalez had an all-time worst year.
Mm-hmm.
For him,
he's getting older.
No, he's getting older. I think the guy's like a future Hall of Famer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He might be on the cusp, But, like, the guys, so when you say he had a down year, I mean, for him, it's still pretty good.
He'll probably wind up around 3,000 hits.
You know, and then we'll see what happens to a guy like Yasiel Puig. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's a question
mark.
He's
a big question mark.
I want to go on record and say that Jock Peterson and his style of game, pull happy, swinging a lot, striking out just left and right. I don't think Jock Peterson has a first half. I don't think he's the first half player that he was last year. I think he's very good defensively as well, but offensively, he has a lot of holes in his swing and his game.
Right.
I think he's the kind of guy that could be the perennial 220 hitter with some pop. I don't think he's going to be a good option and lead off going forward.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we don't know what if someone's going to be able to get into his ear, you know what I mean,
yeah,
and
no.
turn it around, because I think just the natural talent that he has is very evident.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just making – that's my prediction for his trajectory.
Right.
But, you know, then you got the Rockies – there, I mean, the Rockies are the Rockies. They always have some young talent offensively.
Cargo, Arenado.
They've got a new shortstop coming in that people like a lot, Story. But, you know, their pitching just, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And the Padres are not good. So I think the Giants and the Dodgers are up at the top, but the Diamondbacks continuing to fight and still have a good season despite Pollock being out.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the Central, which is a great division. You had the three of the best records in baseball coming out of the NL Central last year.
Yeah.
And the Cubs are obviously a big favorite across the board to finally break the streak of at least going to the World Series.
Right.
And deservedly so, because they have a lot of offense. They have some great pitching. They added to their depth in the rotation in the offseason. But you can't count out the Pirates, who are just continue to hang around.
Absolutely.
And play really good baseball.
Or the Cardinals, because they just seem to get it done every year.
They quietly won 100 games last year.
Yeah.
But I think this is the year that the Cardinals do take a slight step back to their competitors, because they really didn't do much in the offseason at all. And they don't quite have, I mean, they can wave the magic wand and produce a prospect like that.
Yeah.
But they don't really have Piscotty. The next big thing coming out right now.
Right.
And I think that both the Cubs especially and the Pirates, they're still kind of surging a bit. I think this could be the year the Cardinals might have to battle for second or third, depending on how things go.
I think they're going to battle for second or third. I agree there. The one thing I would disagree is I'm not sure if the Pirates are surging. I think they might have peaked, actually, years ago.
They could have peaked. But I will say that Tyler Glasnow coming out of their system in the very near future is a potential ace.
Right.
That's one guy that could be a difference maker for them this season.
Yeah, Chicago on paper looks unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The one thing I guess Vegas isn't taking into account is history.
Right.
You know what I mean? This team hasn't, you know, they've won one playoff series, you know, in, I don't know, something like 20 years. I guess it was 2000. It was the Bartman, so it was like 13 years ago.
Yeah.
But they haven't actually been to a World Series, I think, since like 45.
45.
And they hadn't won one since 1906, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see what happens. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, they could wind up winning 105 games and then still getting bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just if someone's pitching gets hot, like, I could see, you know, San Francisco because of their rotation. You know what I mean? I could see them knocking out the Cubs.
And one thing that we've talked about before is the Cubs have a lot of talent. They do have some weaknesses defensively, and they strike out a prodigious amount. And when it comes down to playoff baseball, striking out all the time
absolutely
does not help your chances, because putting the ball in play, we've seen time over again, it creates opportunities. I mean, if you're striking out, you're basically giving the defense and the surrounding cast a free pass every time.
Right.
Simply putting the ball in play allows things to happen. Guys make errors. Things happen.
Things happen.
You know, you advance runners that lead to more runs.
The Cubs, if anybody should know, if you put the ball in play.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
I think the Cubs have a great chance to break the streak this year, but I think it would help if they didn't strike out all the time when it comes down to the playoffs. If they can improve that part of their game, we'll see.
Are they starting Schwarber and left? Is that their...
I mean, Schwarber's going to spend a lot of time in the outfield.
Okay, so you got him, Dexter Fowler, and Jason Hayward.
Uh-huh.
That's not exactly the best defensive outfield.
I mean, Jason Hayward is very good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, it's not the greatest defensive outfield in the world. They just, I don't know. I think they can be as good as they want to be if they tighten up the loose screws.
Tough division.
I do think, though, that Arrieta, I don't think it's possible for him to duplicate what he did last year. I think that's a career year.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though he could still be very good,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to have a .75 ERA after the All-Star break this time around. That's not going to happen. He's not Sandy Koufax.
No, he could still wind up winning 17, 18 games, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that team's going to put up a lot of runs.
Yeah.
And so even if his ERA balloons a little bit.
You've got solid rotation with John Lester.
John Lackey, too.
John Lackey. And you've got Hamels as your, like, fourth starter. I mean, they have a good...
Jason Hamels. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they have a very good rotation.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win the division.
Probably should.
We'll see what they do when it comes to crunch time in the playoffs. That's what I'm curious to see.
Yeah. If they run into a San Francisco or the Mets, those are going to be some phenomenal pitching matchups in the postseason.
Yep.
So anything can happen. You know, like you said, San Francisco's offense has improved. I don't want to look too far ahead to the playoffs, but, there's definitely some heavyweights in the National League this year.
There are.
I would say the National League is deeper than the American League because between the Nationals, Mets, Pirates, Cardinals, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Giants, those are eight really, really good teams.
Yeah.
And only five of them are going to get in.
Exactly.
And then you'll only have four after one night.
Yep.
So.
And which means you're also going to have some teams with really bad records.
Totally. Like Cincinnati, Milwaukee.
I think Milwaukee could
Atlanta be. Atlanta could be horrible.
Atlanta could be bad. They at least have a couple of prospects they're tight on because they've been playing the dump everyone game.
Yeah.
Trying to load up for when they open their new stadium that they shouldn't be opening in a couple of years.
I mean, didn't they? The other one was only like 20 years old.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. They just didn't like the city,
the location,
Atlanta based location, so they move into the burbs. Anyway, I think Milwaukee could be one of the worst teams in the game. They have very little, if anything, which they showed today with their opening day starter is Willie Peralta,
like Ryan Braun, and nobody else really.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the East, I mean the Phillies have some younger bright spots, but they're not coming around yet.
No,
that's I think the East, the Mets. And what happens with the Nationals? Do the Nationals bounce back? I don't know.
Last week we were talking American League, and I said, you know, every division, there's always, or every, you know, in the league, there's always one division that kind of surprises you,
mm-hmm.
or at least one team that comes up. I honestly, today, I was trying to just find a team, a surprise team. I can't do it. I literally think those eight teams that I just named are the cream of the crop, and then everybody else is going to be, like, significantly worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't see a single one of those teams. And as far as the Nationals, I don't know what they're thinking by keeping Jonathan Papelbon in the same locker room mm-hmm. as Bryce Harper. You've basically, you know, said to Bryce Harper that, you know, we don't really care about you as a franchise player. I mean, it's an insult. The guy choked out your franchise player in the dugout. You know, the manager got fired, which he should have been, for, like, pretending like he didn't even know what was going on. But you got to get rid of Papelbon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All this talk about, oh, well, we're brothers and that kind of stuff happens. Well, if you guys were really brothers, you would have saved it for the locker room.
Well,
or not at all.
The thing about Papelbon is that if he starts blowing saves at any point...
Oh, he's gone.
He's so easy to hate from a fan and media perspective. And then when he gets under the microscope, he says inflammatory things. That's where the circus will start. If he plays well and he's just lights out, people won't really care. But if he starts blowing games, that's when it starts turn with the dancing bears. I will say, though, that Dusty Baker is one of the best player managers of this generation. And I know that as a Giants fan because he kept Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent in the same room for many, many years. And they were very, very good. So if anybody can kind of massage the egos, Dusty will do a good job of that.
I would agree with that. I still think that Bryce Harper's gone in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I see him in pinstripes or Dodger blue.
Mm-hmm.
Who's ever going to throw him $300 million or whatever it'll be?
Right.
You know, he's gone.
Probably. We could talk about Bryce Harper in a lot of different ways. I don't like him very much.
I don't either.
Like his game a lot, but he's as an ambassador for the game, I don't like anything about him.
I don't want to harp too much on my fantasy team or whatever. I already mentioned it like twice. But just to let you know how much I don't like Bryce Harper, I had the third pick, and they picked Trout and Goldschmidt in front of me. I picked Nolan Arenado instead of taking Bryce Harper. I may have cost myself the season, but I don't care.
Arenado's going to put up huge numbers.
He's going to put up – he might hit 50 home runs this year.
Yeah.
I'm serious because Colorado, I mean, he hits them on the road too.
And he's easy to root for.
I just couldn't handle Bryce Harper on my team, even though it's quote-unquote fantasy.
No, I don't blame you. Actually, that same – logic drove me out of fantasy for like 4 or 5 years.
I don't blame you.
Because I got to this point where I hated so many Yankees and Dodgers and something around the 2008-ish era when the Giants stunk, and it was just I couldn't handle it. I had like 15, 20 players on my can't draft list, so I was like, I better just step away for a while.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, I do think that pitching wins championships more often than not.
No doubt.
And I think that the Mets rotation, so long as they can score runs, is just that good. I still think that they're, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. They didn't come out of nowhere because we knew about their pitching, but their offense was so terrible that they couldn't really support it. I think so long as they score runs, I do believe they can win that division again.
I think so too, just because I don't think there's nobody that's really that threatening other than the Nationals.
No.
You know, the Marlins have some good young pieces.
I think the Marlins could be an okay team,
but
they're also, you know, Mattingly's the coach now.
Right.
Who I don't believe in at all.
Yeah.
I think Bonds will actually be a good hitting coach, but the hitting coach isn't going to win you games.
No.
If Stanton plays a whole season and hits 55 home runs and drives in 160 or something, like, that'll help.
Right.
But, yeah, I still think that it's the Nationals and the Mets, but I do believe the Mets are the team in that division that has the highest ceiling.
Yeah, they got a real big bump last year when they picked up Cespedes.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they can kind of pick up where they left off last year as far as scoring runs. Are they going to maybe need to get another bat at the deadline? We'll see.
Will Darno turn out to be a top of the line hitting catcher?
Not
Buster Posey, but you know what I mean.
But they've got high hopes for him there. So we'll see. He also had injury problems last year.
Yep.
So we'll see. But like, you know, with Syndergaard and DeGrom and Harvey and Matz, I mean, that's just a phenomenal. It kind of reminds me of the Braves from the early 90s.
Oh yeah, they're really,
except they
really
throw
good
harder.
1-4. Yeah. And I mean, they want a guy like Dilson Herrera to pan out in the infield.
Mm-hmm.
So they will need a little offensive help.
Yeah, no doubt.
Murphy took off, but Murphy isn't quite as good as his postseason legend.
No.
He's just a solid player.
Yeah, no, he had a great National League playoffs.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, he's not someone that you're going to build a team around.
No. No. So yeah, I don't want to go all the way to the playoffs right now and announce our, you know, NLCS picks. But I think the Mets, with that pitching, if they can score runs, could find their way back to the NLCS again.
Yeah.
I think the Giants, if they hit on both cylinders and stay healthy, could find their way back to the NLCS again. Of course, with every team, we've said it 1,000 times, health is a big thing.
Of course.
I mean, what if Clayton Kershaw got hurt? I don't want Clayton Kershaw to get hurt because I love watching him play, even though he kills the Giants.
He does.
But that would be a disaster for a good Dodger team. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, because you're taking 15 wins. Well, maybe not because you don't know what his replacement's going to do, but there's such a huge drop-off after Kershaw.
I mean, look what happened when Buster Posey got hurt the year after the Giants won the World Series.
Totally.
They had other issues, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Posey went down, and they were done.
Yeah.
So you got to stay healthy. But I think both those teams have the two highest ceilings, depending on what goes right.
Well, Cubs, Giants?
I want to say Mets, Giants,
Mets,
and
Giants.
Then Cubs are the question mark of the year in the NL because I want to see what they do when it becomes crunch time. Because
absolutely.
Like you said, A, we know they strike out a lot and don't play the greatest defense, but more than anything, history.
History.
How can you bet on the Cubs when they haven't won a World Series in 108 years?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Once I was watching this, like, not to bump ESPN or whatever, but in 2003 or 4, I think it was 2004, the Red Sox were actually favored over the Yankees in the ALCS.
Right.
And they famously went down 0-3.
Right.
And Scott Van Pelt, when he remarked about them being the favorites, he said, "That's like the sun being favored not to rise in the morning."
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
I thought that
good.
Was a great line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs very well could win the World Series this
year. They could.
But I'm not going to bet on them. It hasn't even come true to getting there. I've said it before. The Cubs' streak of not even being in the World Series
is so long.
Is 3 years longer than the next team's drought.
Right.
The Cleveland Indians haven't won since 1948.
Okay.
The Cubs haven't been since 1945.
Right.
That's how prolific it is.
That's pretty bad.
Nothing else in sports even comes close, not even the Cleveland Browns.
And they're such prohibitive favorites, too. It's like it's not even worth it.
Right.
Like, I'd rather put one on the Giants to get back nine.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the second or third next highest rated team mm-hmm. as far as Vegas goes.
Right.
But, I mean, Vegas also has the Washington Capitals as the favorite. And, yeah, they're having a phenomenal season.
But they're perennial.
But they lose in the first round every year.
Yeah, they're like the Sharks.
You know, yeah. Speaking of the Sharks, they're definitely going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
It looks like if things shake out, they're either going to play L.A. or Anaheim in the first round.
Yeah.
Which will be a cool California series.
In fact, next week I'd like to get my buddy Landon in here, if possible, yeah.
to help
with some hockey knowledge.
That would be great. Last day of the regular season is that next Sunday.
Yeah.
So the playoffs start on Wednesday. So, yeah, we should do an NHL playoff preview.
Yep, that would be cool. And, you know, we haven't talked much about it last couple of weeks because we've been doing our baseball stuff, but the national championship game.
Tonight. Yeah.
Villanova, North Carolina.
Yeah, should be a good one.
I really hope Villanova wins just because the thought of another UNC championship is boring to me.
It is.
Very boring, especially with Duke winning last year.
Totally.
So I really hope Villanova wins. They steamrolled Oklahoma, which was unbelievable.
44-point victory. That's
yeah,
insane.
There was a point where Oklahoma didn't score for like 8 minutes or something in the second half.
Yeah. Villanova's got a really good team, and supposedly, from what I hear, they don't even have like a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Which to me boggles my mind. So I would love to see that happen. It would kind of be, I mean, they're a 2 seed. It's not like they were like back in the 80s when they knocked off Georgetown as the 8.
Right.
But it'll still be cool because the Big East is kind of a smaller conference now filled with, you know, private schools.
Yeah.
It's not like what it was with Georgetown, Syracuse, and Connecticut in there.
No.
Granted, Georgetown and Syracuse are private. But point being, I'm definitely rooting for the Wildcats as well. Let's break up the Tobacco Road.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, Villanova is in Pennsylvania. I've had a couple of people ask me, where is Villanova?
It's Philadelphia, isn't it?
Yeah, it's outside. It's actually in the town of Villanova.
Okay.
But yeah, it's in the Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Yep. So anyway, noobs, just like that, a half hour gone.
Got to mention my Celtics, man.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's played Golden State better this year than Boston has. Overtime in Boston, and they beat them, broke the streak at home.
Yeah, no, that was great. And I don't care. We'll go a minute over. That was a great win for the Celtics on multiple accounts. One, they're still fighting for their place in the Eastern Conference.
Totally. It could be as high as 3, low as 6.
Two, Golden State hadn't lost at home in almost
over
2 years.
Yeah, the regular season.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, I'm not one of these guys that, okay, Iguodala's out, Bogey doesn't play in the second half. Azealia is hurt, but whatever. It's Golden State at home, road game, playoff time. Warriors still want the 1 seed.
Totally.
It's a great win for the Celtics.
It's a great win.
Yeah. It's just it's a bigger win for them than it is a loss for the Warriors. That's a huge win for Boston.
And I looked at the schedule for them. It's really cool how it's working out. They play Atlanta, Charlotte, and Miami their last 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
So the 3 teams that they're fighting for, everybody's jockeying for position in the Eastern Conference.
Right. And I want to say that watch out for Boston if they sign Kevin Durant. I'm not going to say that it's happening,
but it
could happen.
It could. And they've got a lot of pieces.
They're the perfect candidate for – they're a team that is just – they need one star.
Yeah.
Because a little Isaiah, I think, is awesome and probably the most underrated player in the Eastern Conference, even though he's an all-star. But if you were to add a superstar
mm-hmm. –
you would take that jump. They would all of a sudden be the top team in the Eastern Conference, most likely.
I completely agree. I mean, I love Isaiah, too, but it's like if he's the number one scoring threat, I just don't trust that in crunch time in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs. Like, he's your number one option.
But
if you add Kevin Durant, they are just as good as Cleveland, if not better.
Yeah, and little Isaiah, I think, can be the guy behind the guy.
Totally.
He can be that legit number two all-star.
Absolutely, and they've got so much depth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just, you know, I hear a lot of people – actually compare them to Golden State from like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where they share the ball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys are able to put up points. You know, they've got good rebounding, good size on the front line, great young coach. Future's
bright. We predicted them in the offseason as being potentially as high as the 2 seed this year.
Yep.
It looks like they'll
Toronto
slot
will get that.
They'll probably slot in the 3 or the 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we weren't that far off.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and the Eastern Conference in general is better.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually, like, in the 7 and 8 seed, I think it's Indiana and Detroit right now, and there are a few games over 500 where we've had in the past where, like, the 8th seed is below 500, where you're kind of seeing that now in the West with Houston and Dallas. So
yeah.
We'll see. It's just going to be, honestly, it's going to be all chalk in the Western Conference as far as the first round. So